Thanks for joining us. Today I'm talking to Adam Donaldson, who is the head of fixed income and rates research at the CBA. Adam, it's always good to talk to you.
Pleasure to be here, Tom.
A lot to talk about. The Fed's been keeping things rather interesting most recently. They've raised rates three times since December. They're talking about raising rates more over the medium term. What's your view on things?
Well, that's right. I mean, they've flagged that they're going to do another tightening before the end of the year. They're suggesting there'll be another three next year. They're still suggesting that there's a terminal Fed funds rate of something like 3% out there. So that's reasonably hawkish. They've also flagged that they're going to start to unwind their balance sheet before the end of the year. So they're reasonably active. I guess the interesting thing is when we look at the bond market, while the Fed can impact short-term rates, and we've seen two-year bond yields rise sort of from 0.7 to 1.3 over the last year, the impact has really been diluted recently on longer-term yields, and any impact around the globe has been very minimal. So so far, the Fed is not having a lot of traction in terms of moving the market or moving bond yields higher.
Indeed. So you make a very good point about the Fed having at least the ambition to shrink its balance sheet. But we saw this in the beginning when they talked about raising rates first up. They had a little bit of trouble getting off the tarmac in that respect. So what are your expectations on this front?
Well, I mean, they do have a very large balance sheet. So they let it grow to $4.5 trillion just after the crisis in those years. We think that the sort of ultimate endpoint that they might want to keep the balance sheet at is $2.25 trillion, somewhere around there. They always need to have a larger exposure now to help banks with their increased liquidity needs, and also to help them manage the federal funds rate itself. Getting from 4.5 down to half that size, I think will probably take about 3 years. They're suggesting they will just dip their toe in the water, and the process will be that rather than stopping suddenly, they're going to just gradually start to reduce the amount of their maturities that they reinvest. And some stage before the end of the year, they'll reduce that number by about $10 billion. And then sort of gradually that'll become a $50 billion reduction. So, yeah, we think it'll take about 3 years for them to do that.
So you, like, even though they are actually, you know, in some respects struggling to raise rates at the timetable that they want, you still think that they'll be able to shrink the balance sheet in a meaningful sort of way in the near term?
Well, look, it's certainly going to be an interesting test. You know, we do have various experiences over the past few years where Fed has flagged certain intentions. One of those was the initial tapering exercise, and markets really fell apart when they first announced that, and the Fed sort of stepped back and took longer to do it. With the initial tightening, which was back in December 15, you know, then took another year before we saw the second one come through. So they've faced those headwinds, and really what they're doing there is being responsive to the incoming data, particularly things like moves in the US dollar, the health of equity and credit markets and so on. And when those things show tension in response to what the Fed's doing, then they're likely to step back. I suppose the really pleasing thing at this stage for the Fed is, you know, the US dollar's not been increasing much. Equity markets are basically at their highs. Credit markets are very well performed. We're seeing around the world that growth is a bit more synchronized and other areas are doing well. So all of those things are making it a bit smoother sailing. We have seen the Fed deliver these three moves, and our view is actually they will continue on with the process, and we will see more of this coming through, including the start of the unwind. But they will be dipping their toe in, and they will always be responsive to how the feedback comes through.
You just made the point that the credit markets are very well behaved, because it's not an intuitive response. You've got the Fed raising rates. They want to shrink their balance sheet. You've got the at least theoretical expansionary qualities of the Trump administration's agenda, yet long-term interest rates are coming down. Adam, what is going on here?
So... And that hasn't been our view. We thought yields would drift up a little bit more this year. We actually still do. So what we have seen is the US 10-year yield peaked at about 2.6% in March. It's come down now to about 2.15, so almost a 50.4. We think it will go back up to 2.70 by the end of the year and on to 2.9 next year. I think what we're seeing with the recent performance is a few different factors at work. First of all, the Fed is still a lone wolf. So while they're raising interest rates, the ECB, the Bank of Japan, the Bank of England, Australia and New Zealand, while they may not be cutting rates anymore, there's certainly no intention really to get off the ground in terms of any tightening. So capital flows into the US market. It's keeping yields depressed. Secondly, the Trump administration, I mean, it's really had virtually zero success in terms of getting any of these inflationary policies, the infrastructure spend or the tax cuts, off the ground. So what we have seen to some degree is that while market yields lifted after the election in November, it was partly on hope of more inflation pressure and a term premium coming into the bond market, and those things have sort of been squeezed back out of the market over the past few months. If Trump has success, and ultimately we think he will, then that should start to turn around. And I guess that would also help impressions about the state of growth. So one of the disappointing things has been that in the past first half of this year, we've seen that growth has slowed, and particularly the inflation numbers have actually been pretty weak. And things like declining oil prices, weaker commodities, those things don't help the inflation mix. Of course, what that means is that the market is really doubting that the Fed will have the ability to push onwards and upwards with yields. So it's sort of pricing a terminal rate closer to 2 than the 3, the Fed says, and it has little excess premium there in the bond market because of those capital flows issues. Ultimately, we think they will be sort of successful in steering the course and getting policy to those levels, and we will need to see more term premium. So we have those yields coming through, but certainly at the moment, the market is not trading that way and really is quite dubious on what the Fed can achieve.
So a slow grind higher as far as longer yields are concerned. Yeah. We're beginning to see a bottoming out as far as the income story is concerned, particularly for households. That's got to be a positive dovetailing with that story as well over the medium term.
Yeah, look, the household situation in the US and I guess around the world generally is starting to show signs of improvement. Confidence is extremely high, so even though the growth numbers have been weak, all of the confidence readings in the US and generally around the globe have been extremely strong, and that's something that's important. It's actually the case sort of here in Australia, but more on the business side than on the consumer side. So one of the differences between what we're seeing in the rest of the world and Australia is that household income in Australia, the wages story, the underemployment story, they're all continuing to sort of exert a drag on market expectations relative to some of those other jurisdictions.
Okay, so let's talk about Aussie bond yields. So obviously, are they going to be getting dragged higher with Treasury yields over the medium term?
Yeah, so this discrepancy between the Australian situation and the US does show through, but it doesn't mean that yields won't rise. So correlations between Australia and the US benchmark are extremely high. When the US rises, we rise, and we saw that at the end of last year. But equally, we don't need to move as much. And what we're expecting is that the current premium that Australian yields have over and above the US, which is about 25 basis points, will sort of squeeze down to zero over the next 6 to 12 months, ultimately go negative by perhaps 10 or 20 basis points. So while US yields are rising up towards that 2.9 number, we sort of see our cap more at around 2.7, 2.75. And relative to a cash rate stuck at 1.5, that's still a very generous amount of premium on a bond curve. So we think we'll sort of resist a large chunk of that US move higher.
And great insights. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Always. Thanks, Tom.
And thanks for joining us.